Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Excuse me. Kevin Wall with you. I'm a little under the weather today. I got that allergy crud. But hey, I'm here and I'm ready to go, and it's Friday and I get really excited. We'll get the Friday song up for you here in just a bit. First, though, want to check in with Daniel Honcharoo from NPRI. He joins us from Carson City, and he's with us on our City National Bank guest hotline. First of all, Daniel, the opening day I know is ceremonial. What's gone on since then?
Well, so we had a bit of an interesting start to the week, right? On Sunday, Monday, we had an absolute blizzard in Carson City. So we had a bunch of lawmakers, family, and friends in town doing the tour through the legislature, packed like sardines inside with the winter wonderland outside. Now, from my cynical point of view, I suspect perhaps these massive snowfalls may present an ominous start to the legislative session, especially for free market-minded folks like ourselves. But perhaps we'll see shortly. Let me also mention a quick congratulations to the Nevada legislature. We are now the first legislature in the country to be female majority. We now have 32 of 63 women in the legislature. This is a remarkable accomplishment, no doubt. That said, I wish we had more female conservatives in the mix. The Dems outnumber us 26-6 there. So perhaps the GOP may need to get a little bit better at recruiting and promoting the right types of female conservatives in future elections. Just a thought.
Daniel, I want to ask you, because the big question for a lot of us has been, well, what happens, with taxes? The governor, Steve Sisolak, said in his State of the State, no new taxes. But yet we look, and there are taxes in proposals on the docket, right? In fact, more than one.
That is absolutely correct. I watched Sisolak's inaugural State of the State, as did much of the rest of the state. He didn't promise. He did, in fact, promise no new taxes. But over the past couple of weeks, that statement has already been proved as very disingenuous, because there is already a laundry list of tax issues that these are already pushing. And let me go through the list. For example, we already know that the governor wants to extend a couple of taxes that were set to at least partially sunset, the modified business tax, which is a business payroll tax, as well as a vehicle registration fee. Together, they would generate about $140 million over the next 2 years. So we aren't talking about negligible finances here or peanuts. This is real money. Now, of course, kind of the media question for the last couple of weeks has been, well, do these tax extensions qualify as new taxes or not? Because if they are new taxes, then a two-thirds majority vote is required to implement them per the state's constitution. And at least one... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in at least one of those scenarios with a modified business tax, the constitutional language couldn't be clearer. The MBT tax extension should absolutely require a two-thirds vote because it generates new revenue. It's hard to deny that. Now, fortunately, the Democrats don't quite have super control of the Senate. And so if they want to pass the MBT tax extension, they'll need at least one GOP senator in support. And in my mind, I hope the GOP behind the scenes is viewing that as potential leverage for some of their other priorities, most notably school choice funding, because Democrats in recent months have threatened to entirely undo Nevada's only educational choice scholarship program, the Opportunity Scholarship Program. And if they eliminated this program, it would literally kick hundreds, if not thousands, of kids off their current scholarships, those same scholarships that allow these kids to abandon their failing schools and find schools that better meet their needs. So look, between these two taxes, they're asking for $140 million over 2 years. We're just asking for $20 million more for scholarship funding. To me, that's a pretty fair deal. Now, of course, the Democrats view this tax issue differently. They seem to be convinced that it's not a new tax, it's just an old tax, and therefore all it requires is a majority vote. So there's a chance that they may try and pass these tax increases by themselves. If they do so, we can expect lawsuits to be filed swiftly. Let me point out, one of the best write-ups I've seen on this topic in the last few days was from Victor Jakes, a former NPRI colleague of mine. He had a great op-ed in the RJ a couple of days ago on this precise topic. I suggest you listeners check it out. So that's just one tax where Democrats already want an additional $140 million, even though Sisolak promised no new taxes. But there are several more that I can go through right now.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Just want to re-identify Daniel Honcharu joining us from NPRI. He literally has moved to Carson City. And he will be covering the 120-day Nevada legislature, the 80th Nevada legislature. You mentioned some of those other tax proposals. Can you go through a list?
Sure. So I already mentioned they want to extend those two taxes, right? And it's controversial as to how they'll be able to do that. They also want to increase what's called the real property transfer tax. This tax already pulls in about $150 million for the state. They want to increase the tax rates on home sales for the explicit purpose of funding better homeless services in Clark County. Now, certainly, Clark County has a homeless problem, so this bill is perhaps well-intentioned. By the way, it's Assembly Bill 73. It was proposed by the Committee on Taxation. But in this case, like all other cases, private solutions are always better than government coercion and taxes. Private solutions are better. They're cheaper, and they're more efficient, and this tax is just not needed. So that's tax number two. There are also several bills which would allow local governments to raise their own taxes per what's known as Dillon's Rule. Dillon's Rule is a common law rule which fortunately Nevada adopted, which basically says that the state must authorize any local government tax increases. This is good because it disallows local governments from going buck wild with spending. But there are at least three bills designed to do this. Assembly Bill 4 would raise taxes to create new fire districts across the state. Senate Bill 48 would increase gas taxes. And Senate Bill 61 would impose new gas taxes. So again, all this no tax talk is belied by what's already out there.
Daniel Honcharu joining us from Carson City. More from Carson City coming up in just a minute as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall, the program live and local now.
Councilman Steve Soroka ran on a promise of settling the issues regarding Badlands Golf Course, that he would work with all parties to solve the issues once and for all. That promise was empty. All he has done since his election is delay and obstruct any attempts toward a solution. Though the owners of the property are willing to meet anytime, anywhere to discuss the issue, Councilman Soroka has met with them once. Doesn't sound like someone who is working toward a solution. His refusal to resolve the matter not only leaves a huge undeveloped area in the middle of the district, but has left the taxpayers on the hook for possible endless legal bills and huge damage awards, while killing the opportunity for hundreds of jobs and millions in economic activity in the process. Enough is enough. It's time to put an end to this once and for all and recall Steve Soroka and elect someone who will solve problems and not compound them. To learn more about the issue and how you can be involved, please visit StopSoroka.com. StopSoroka.com. This ad was paid for by the committee to recall Councilman Steve Soroka.
This year, make Valentine's Day extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Hey, Kevin Wall here. At Rhythm Kitchen, you get to choose how you want to celebrate. Their dining room and cocktail lounge will be serving a full menu beginning at 5:30. Or dine in their elegant grand ballroom with a four-course meal that you'll not soon forget. You'll enjoy lump blue crab cakes, Caesar salad, surf and turf featuring a petite filet and lobster, a tasty Valentine's Day dessert plus a commemorative bottle of champagne. You'll enjoy an incredible meal with breathtaking views of the Las Vegas Strip, all for just $175 per couple. Seating is limited, so call for reservations at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Or check out this amazing Valentine's Day package at RhythmKitchenSeafoodAndSteaks.com. Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks, conveniently located on South Decatur, just off the 215, 702-767-8438.
Hello, this is Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. Have you been wanting to start a business but just can't seem to find the time to go through the mountains of paperwork the government requires? Are you just overwhelmed by the bureaucracy and the burdensome regulations? Well, fear no more, because the Taylor Consulting Group is your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Whether it's starting a restaurant, a tavern, or a cafe, our knowledgeable staff will guide you through the licensing process. We specialize in gaming licenses, liquor licenses, and land use consulting. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. In fact, you can enroll up until February 28th for a March 1st effective date. Anyone who's paid on a 1099, has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or is a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casale, at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. And find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Great to have you with us. Friday. It is live and local now. I'm under the weather. Your erstwhile host, Kevin Wall. Daniel Honcharu is feeling great. Just digging out from a snowstorm earlier this week in Carson City. And he joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. Daniel, what are some of these other tax increases? You got any more?
Oh, yeah. And I have two of the elephants in the room that no one seems to be talking about too much right now. First, let me acknowledge something called SJR 14, Senate Joint Resolution 14. It is a constitutional proposal to raise property taxes dramatically by resetting the existing property tax abatements or tax caps, which have been for 10 years protecting Nevada homeowners. Ever since they passed that law, property taxes have only been able to increase by 3% per year for residential properties. SJR 14 wants to undo that. Like I said, it's constitutional in nature, so it goes through a bit of a different legislative process. It's a three-stage, four-year process. So it passed in 2017 by a simple majority vote. It'll easily pass in 2019, also by a majority vote, at which point it would go to the voters on the 2020 ballot. So if there is any good news here, it's that voters will have the means to decide whether or not they want to massively increase their own property taxes. And SJR 14 has huge implications. Various estimates suggest that some property tax liabilities might double or even triple overnight on certain properties.
Wow.
It's an absolute massive tax grab. It's been going under the radar for the last couple of years. I suspect that once the 2020 election is in full swing, there'll be a lot of money spent on both sides fighting it. Man, it deserves to go down. But unfortunately, you know, Nevada is a state with more renters than owners, so I'm not feeling too optimistic this far out. Of course, a lot can change.
I know that one of the issues, Daniel, that we've been fearing is that the Democrats would start toying with collective bargaining for state employees. Is that I know that there have been legislators who have talked about it. Is it going to come true?
Well, that is the fifth tax issue, kind of a peripheral one. But yes, indeed, Senate Bill 135 was formally introduced yesterday. It would authorize collective bargaining for state workers, as Sisolak promised during a State of the State address. Now, this is going to cost Nevada hundreds of millions of dollars in every year going forward, at least. It'll be terrible for state finances and will guarantee future massive tax hikes. Before I even talk about everything else bad with it, let me first just mention there's a huge misconception among Nevadans that the average government worker somehow makes less than their private sector counterparts. The exact opposite is true. On median, on average, government workers actually make more. If you don't believe me, visit transparentnevada.com. It's the public pay database that NPRI manages, and you can see all the numbers applied. So there is a wealth gap between government workers and private workers in the state. And state collective bargaining will only worsen that wealth gap, because any raises given to government workers by nature come on the back of private citizens who already make far less than the government workers. So giving government workers raises exacerbates the wealth gap. It's kind of misunderstood, but when government workers get richer, private workers who are already poor get even more poor. And of course, with collective bargaining, there are a series of major pension implications as well. And unless Nevada's pension issues are resolved, and when I say that, I mean we need to transfer from a defined benefit system to a defined contribution system, or at least some form of hybrid, collective bargaining for state workers will only exacerbate our current pension woes. And pension debt is already crowding out local spending, whether or not lawmakers choose to acknowledge it. It's one of those issues that's kind of always passed down to the next generation. And that's why, you know, we have to set aside 40 cents for every dollar on public safety wages just to pay down retirements and retirement debt. Pension underfunding hurts taxpayers as much as it hurts government employees. And I can't make that statement clear enough.
Wow. Okay. Can we talk about, and I've only got a couple of minutes in this segment, can I carry you over for about 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to ask you about gun rights, because a lot of my friends who are gun owners are absolutely fearful that the Democrats are going to do something to gun rights in Nevada. What have we seen from the BDR so far?
So they are rightfully fearful. The worst legislation that I fear is still only a BDR and has yet to be drafted. That was the BDR that was proposed by Senator Cancela, Clark County Democrat, immediately in the aftermath of the October 1, 2017 shooting. I suspect that bill may try and outlaw bump stocks. I suspect that bill may try and outlaw, quote-unquote, assault weapons, whatever the heck that means. There's no real definition, obviously. So that's yet to be seen. But I am quite fearful that some types of, quote, assault weapons may be outlawed come the end of the session. So I'm going to go buy mine in the next couple of months based on that fear. Now, of course, if they do pass that, I imagine there will be significant constitutional challenges. And with the newly installed Gorsuch and Kavanaugh court, who are much more amenable to guns rights, perhaps prohibitions on these types of guns will be struck down in court.
Daniel, Daniel, can I just ask you, and I apologize for interrupting, but I got to get this in. What about the gun background check bill that Attorney General Laxalt said, I'm sorry, the FBI, you know, can't do the background checks. Anything in the hopper so far on that?
Well, there is. So first of all, let me say this. Laxalt has been totally vindicated based on his AG opinion from a couple of years back. Even Democrat lawmakers have pointed out now that the law as written was totally unenforceable. So when Laxalt caught all this flack on the campaign trail, it was just absolutely bogus. There was nothing that a single AG could do without changes to the law to implement background checks. Those are all just lies and slanders made against Laxalt. But I know that there is going to be a joint committee of lawmakers meeting sometime, I believe, next Tuesday. They want to get this issue resolved. It seems like there's willingness, maybe even from a few guys on the GOP side, just to get the law on the books. You know, I am a fervent guns rightist. So this isn't the worst type of gun control that theoretically could be proposed, but you should expect some sort of legislative compromise or action to occur in the next couple of weeks trying to implement question one as it was written back in 2016.
Okay, Daniel Honcharoo, he's going to stick around for another segment. We're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly in Carson City. What are the bills? BDR, we call BDR, Bill Draft Request. Those eventually become proposals, and some of them actually become law. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up in just a couple minutes. Daniel Honcharoo, he has literally moved lock, stock, and barrel up to Carson City.
I know.
And he was there for the snow earlier this week.
Wow.
Stick around. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall, the program live and local now.
Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Daniel Honcharoo from NPRI, Nevada Policy. He has camped out in beautiful Carson City, and for 120 days, he'll be reporting through NPRI and with us here on Live and Local Now, what's going on in Carson City. These are the laws that are going to impact you. And I know a lot of people in this town and throughout the state utilize payday lenders Are they going to tweak or maybe make a major adjustment in Carson City in payday lending?
Well, Kevin, they're certainly trying to. Assembly Bill 118 was published this week by Assemblywoman Swank and Cohen. What they essentially want to do is prohibit certain payday lending practices involving, quote, high-rate short-term loans. Now, there's so many things wrong with this kind of approach. First of all, thousands of people rely on these services every single year, and it seems backwards to outlaw the services used by those with financial difficulties because it does nothing to help them and perhaps can make even things worse for them. Not to mention, it's an American right to be able to contract between consenting individuals, and here government is telling you what you can and can't contract to. No one's being coerced here. No one's being forced into any contracts. They do so willfully. So the way that I see it, this is nanny statism at its worst. It's the same thing as regulating soda taxes or sin taxes. These issues shouldn't be in government's purview. Government, please leave Nevadans alone.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? I want to ask you, because in every legislative session, this I call it kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. We have covered the bad and some of the ugly, but are there any good bills that you're seeing, any good BDRs that are being filled in that you think might be beneficial to folks like our listeners?
So I want to point out a bill, Assembly Bill 99, that was proposed by Jim Wheeler. It's already been published. This is the best bill I see to date. It would require public schools to better teach American civics as part of the regular curriculum. Look, in my experience, when I was growing up, nobody seems to teach American or constitutional civics anymore, and that's why younger people are more inclined to doubt the greatness of things like free speech and due process. Remember the saga of Brett Kavanaugh when he was deemed guilty before he had even spoken or responded to any allegations? I mean, look at people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who come to power with huge younger followings based on anti-American, anti-capitalist sentiments, socialist platforms. Did you see the new Green Deal that was released a couple of days ago?
Oh, yeah.
What an absolute mockery of policy. And this is the kind of stuff that we get from younger generations who are never schooled in what it means to be an American.
Now, we always assume that when they grow up, when they become mature adults, that they will become more conservative. But in the case of AOC, as she's now known.
I call her occasional cortex.
Apparently some people never grow up.
Well, and, you know, unfortunately, it's not just K through 12 through high school now. Now you have, 98% of political science faculties on college campuses are either liberal or progressive. And so it really is the odd man out. You know, that was my experience when I was back at Cornell. I guess, God, it was 10 years ago now. I didn't have a single conservative teacher over 4 years. Literally not a single
one. Is that
one.
Right? Wow.
And you know, I was in the School of Industrial and Labor Relations, which perhaps admits a more liberal variety of students anyways. But I was maybe one of five kids in my entire graduating major who actually believed in free market principles and who was opposed to public sector, organized labor, et cetera.
That is incredible. Now, I know there is a bill yet to be proposed, and it deals with abortion. Can you shed any light on what they're thinking and who it is that's thinking it?
You know, that's part of the thing. I've not heard much on the abortion issue. I have no idea what to expect. We've obviously seen some pretty wacky cases out of New York and now Virginia where it's become lawful in New York to essentially kill a baby at the very end of the third trimester or past birth. I suspect that Nevada's populace, especially in the conservative areas, would not react to this well. There are statistics which suggest that, a large portion of Americans support abortion, but only in the earliest weeks and months. You know, once these babies are 9 months developed, that seems to go a little bit far. Now, that issue is not an NPRI's purview. We typically stray from social issues, but I think common sense typically would suggest that infanticide as a moral action is bad.
I want to ask you about, I don't know, the tenor, the texture of what we're witnessing in Carson City. The Democrats, if they wanted to, they could steamroll Republicans. They can do it in a nice way. They can do it in a get out of our way, we're going to have our way kind of way. Which are Democrats choosing, at least over the first 4 or 5 days?
It has been a relatively, it's been a relative week of formalities thus far. Nothing too controversial has been proposed, so we really don't have an idea of what extremes, I'm talking in leftiest terms, they'll go to. Now, Democrats, of course, control the trifecta, the governor and both houses, but they're also accountable to their electorate, and especially in the Assembly, these people are back up for re-election in 2 years. And there are a lot of Nevadans that may have voted Democrat this time, but aren't progressives in the way that progressives view themselves. And I suspect that they're being at least somewhat conscious of not trying to go too far to the left so as to perhaps create a red wave of sorts in the 2020 election cycle.
It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. And the governor and his relationship to the Republicans, I'm curious. Has there been any olive branch extended? Do you see any movement? Do you see any Republicans walking into the office of the new governor?
I have witnessed nothing personally. But let me say this. I worked with Sisolak a couple of years back in the Moorcop sales tax for a few days when it was being proposed in Clark County. That was an initiative to increase the sales tax for the sole purpose of hiring more police officers. For what it's worth, I found Sisolak to be a very reasonable guy to deal with, and at times a budget hawk. You know, he controlled some outlandish labor union spending in police and fire districts. So, you know, if there are any allies in Carson City, at least potentially centrist types, Sisolak may be one of those. Now, of course, his base is going to try and pull him as far left as possible because the far left's base is the loudest and the most inclined to perform ridiculous, shaming public activism. But it's still a lot up in the air. I suspect we'll learn a lot more in the coming weeks once more bills are formally introduced. We only have about 250 bills out right now, and by the end of the session, it'll be well over 1,000. So there is a lot more to come, and I suspect by the beginning of March, we'll have a much better idea of who has Sisolak's ear here.
Daniel Honcharu joining us from NPRI. He is camped out in Carson City, which has been snowy most of the week. And he joins us on our City National Bank guest hotline. I want to ask you about the eight. Somehow we're going to have to, maybe it's the gang of eight, but we're going to have to find a name for them. They are the eight Republicans in the state Senate who are keeping the Democrats from steamrolling new taxes with a two-thirds supermajority. And I know I'm asking you to do this off the top of your head, so if you don't have them all, that's okay. But I want you to run down who these eight are, and is there any evidence so far that they seem to be willing to stick together?
You know, that is a difficult question to answer that far out the gate. That gang of eight is Joe Hardy, Ira Hansen, Heidi Gansler, Ben Kiegelfer, James Settlemyer, Scott Hammond, Pete Gokolachea, and Keith Pickard. Now, I have heard mumblings that perhaps, especially on this modified business tax extension issue, which might provide them some leverage with their priorities, they seem to be intact thus far. And again, if we can even use some leverage, this is the only that we might have in the Senate, because Dems need one of them to affirmatively vote for the MBT tax extension. And look, again, the Dems want, the governor wants $140 million over 2 years. All it would require is one GOP vote. The GOP is just asking for $20 million additional dollars for the Nevada Educational Choice Scholarship Program. That is beyond a fair deal for the Democrats, but the idea of expanding school choice to any degree terrifies them because they know that school choice programs work, and that will be demonstrated once these school choice programs proliferate more and more in future years.
I tell you, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Daniel, always good to have you on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Stay warm, stay dry, and stay out of the way of those Democrats. They can be mean and nasty, I think, sometimes. It's always
hey,
good.
You know what?
What?
You know what? I've had several good conversations with Democrats to date. I'm a coalition builder, Kevin. I want to get things done, and we do have common issues, and I'm working towards those.
And by the way, in our final couple of minutes, can you talk about just a couple of the issues that NPRI, as an entity, is actually talking to Democrats about?
Sure. Well, for months now, we have been working behind the scenes in an attempt to improve the state's Public Records Act. Governments, state governments, local governments consistently deny us the right to review and to get access to government documents. NPRI is often having to litigate these cases. They go on for years. We always prevail because the law is so clear. So we want to improve the transparency laws in such a way so as to include teeth or penalties against the worst government actors who maliciously or arbitrarily deny the public the records which they are entitled to. You know, the idea that the government's supposed to be transparent and accountable? Well, it's not really in Nevada because they keep breaking these laws. We need to enforce these laws, and there's no other way than applying civil sanctions. If somebody else has a better idea, I'm all ears. But in my experience, discipline, threat to discipline, work.
Well, as they say, bring it on. I love the idea of NPRI brokering with Democrats on issues that are important to all of us. It's so good to have you on. We'll do it again next Friday. How about it?
I'll see you then. I'll have a couple of ski days this weekend to enjoy, and I'll be back and ready on Friday, Kevin.
There you go. Thank you, sir. There you have it. Daniel Honcharu joining us from Carson City. And by the way, he's going to join us every Friday during the session. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of ugly coming out. First week, everybody's on their best behavior. I think it's different now. We'll take a break. Coming up, the Friday song. Yeah. Even when the host is not feeling up to snuff. Even when he's a little injured, if you will. And I got that, whatever that crud is, that's been going around the, and I think it's allergy-based. Yeah, but whatever it is, I've got it. And I had it on last night. I didn't sleep much. It was awful. Ugh. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Kayleigh McEnany had a great op-ed on FoxNews.com. You're gonna love this. That's coming up next. Live and local now.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed, not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. Your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Live and local now. Good to have you with us. Okay, I promised you yesterday that we'd get into this Jeff Bezos thing. And this is just bizarre. Let's go to cut one. And by the way, before the end of the hour, we'll have the Friday song for you. Is that okay? Is that fair? But first, I want you to hear from Jeffrey Toobin. He was on with Wolf Blitzer yesterday, railing against the National Enquirer, and this story involving Jeff Bezos, and again, I don't know if you've been following it that closely, but the National Enquirer went after Bezos, claiming they had pictures of some form of genitalia, male genitalia, presumably Jeff Bezos. But let me go to the audio soundbite. This is cut one. This is Jeffrey Toobin, the legal eagle from CNN, with Wolf Blitzer.
You've done a lot of reporting on David Pecker, American Media, the owner, the publisher of the National Enquirer. You've gone through this as well. What's your take?
Well, I mean, it's so interesting at so many levels. Among other things, Jeff Bezos published this document on the Medium.com website. He didn't use the Washington Post website, so he's trying somewhat to separate this from his ownership of the Post. But this does seem like how the how the National Enquirer operates. Either you do what we say, or you will be embarrassed and humiliated. And these photographs, as they're described, certainly do seem like they would be extremely embarrassing to Jeff Bezos. What's fascinating about what the National Enquirer wanted here was a statement that it wasn't, that is, the National Enquirer was not operating out of any sort of political motives, that and it wanted the Washington Post to acknowledge that, or it will publish these photos. What makes that so weird is that, you know, David Pecker, and I've written about this and other people have written, David Pecker is a well-known friend of the president's. He told me, and he's told others, that the reason he paid Karen McDougal $150,000 was to suppress her story and help Donald Trump get elected president. So the idea that the National Enquirer is some journalistic enterprise that is independent of politics is just absurd. And you can see why Bezos and the Post, you know, being responsible journalists, wouldn't possibly agree to lie to protect Bezos from this embarrassment.
Is it just weird, that's the word you use, or is it potentially a crime if you believe what Bezos is now writing as far as the National Enquirer, American Media, and David Pecker are concerned?
Gosh, that's a law school hypothetical that I'm really not sure I'm prepared to answer at this point. I mean, I don't think a journalistic enterprise could be charged with an actual crime for doing this. It's disgraceful journalism. It's appalling behavior on the part of the American Media, which is the parent company of the National Enquirer. Whether it's an actual crime, it doesn't seem
suggests,
like that to
he
me.
Suggests, Jeff, extortion and blackmail. Those are his comments.
Those are his terms, and I would have to think that through more about whether this is an actual crime. What's clear is this is appalling journalistic behavior on the part of the National Enquirer, which is saying to Bezos, lie for us or I will embarrass.
I love it how he refused to even entertain the notion that there was something criminal about this. And by the way, I'm not an attorney, so I'm the wrong guy to ask. But I will tell you this. It's fun when you look at rich, powerful, billionaire people who are outed like this. I mean, to me, it's fascinating when you see the rich and famous getting the crap beat out of them. No, I mean, there's something entertaining about that. Coming up, very excited, Kayleigh McEnany. She's got an op-ed piece on women's global development and the Prosperity Initiative and the Green New Deal. They, by the way, did you see they rolled it out? We'll have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in her own words, describe what the strategy is going to be. And by the way, the strategy involves capturing both houses of the legislative branch of government and the presidency. That's how they say they're going to get this new Green Deal, or this Green New Deal. Either way, it does not bode well for the American people. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Again, I apologize for being a little bit under the weather. I got that nasal stuff and that congestion. A little Mucinex, a little nose spray, and I will be better, but probably not until Monday. Sorry about that. My name is Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now. Hot air ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity.